Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about a subject matter. So many people are discussing it because of the political activity that's going on. But we're going to be coming from a different perspective. My guest today is Judith Barr. We're going to be talking about power abused, power healed. Judith, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. I'm so glad to be here with you today.
Well, I really found your material about power quite interesting. You yourself are in Brooklyn, Connecticut.
Actually, it's Brookfield, Connecticut.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
That's okay.
Brookfield, Connecticut. Your background, you have been a depth psychologist, a psychotherapist, excuse me, since 1975. You are a mental health counselor. You have your Master of Science degree in counseling. You have written quite a bit, articles, as well as putting together workshops and interacting with people one-on-one. Judith, at the very beginning of your book, you have a statement that I'd like to read to my audience because I think it has a lot of depth to it. You said, again and again, I've experienced abuses of power in what are supposed to be caring, healing contexts and containers. And as is true at some level for us all, what is done to us, we do to others. So for both the sake of my own heart and soul and for those I touch both personally and professionally, it has been my life's work to heal this abuse of power in my part of the world and to help it heal in the world at large. With deep apologies to those I may have hurt out of my own woundedness and unconsciousness, and with expansive hope for healing of our use of power in the world, I offer power abused, power healed, in service to this healing. I pray what is in this book will not be misused or abused, but rather will be used for the greatest good in love and truth, Judith Barr. Judith, that says quite a bit, and it also brings forth in my mind's view the depth of your emotional situation as an individual and how seriously concerned you are about this. And your book has all kinds of stories. When did your journey in this element of self-discovery really begin, and when did this become so important to you?
I really want to say I think I was born into this life, my journey of self-discovery. As a child, I really was very intrigued by what makes us tick and why we think the things we do and why we feel the way we do and why we act the way we do. And I think in large part, both in terms of me wanting to do my own work in self-discovery, discovery and healing and becoming all I could be, and also really wanting to help others do the same. It was very much a two-pronged thing, which isn't always true of people in this profession, unfortunately. Many people just really want to help others and they leave themselves out. And that is part of what really started me feeling like I have to, like an inner have to. I have to help with this. Because I have been in the profession, the healing arts profession, for many years, over 30-some years. And I started seeing and hearing and having some of my own experiences and having clients come to me and colleagues talk to me about experiences they were having with all sorts of different kinds of healers, therapists, massage therapists, psychics, people who did energy healing, et cetera, that so many of them were having experiences where they felt the healer was misusing or abusing their power. And it was both heartbreaking to me and really stirred me to a place where I felt like It's not enough to do my own work with it. It's not enough to work with the people that come to do sessions with me to heal from not only the childhood version of it, but the version with their healer or their therapist. But I know about this, and I have the abilities to help take this out further in the world, both for people who were having experiences of having power abused with them in healing environments, but also, Donna, as I was writing,
mm-hmm.
all of the misuses and abuses of power in our world were coming out into the open, one by one by one, and it became very clear that this book wasn't just about the healing professions. Power Abuse, Power Healed is about every arena of our lives.
I agree with that, and that's why I was impressed with what you put together, because as you say, in today's world, and I honestly, if you look at history, there are cycles where the abuse of power is just absolutely appalling. But it seems like it's always going on in one part of the world or another. And it is a condition that human beings create, and the only way to diffuse it is having it out in the open and having clarity with it and getting rid of the lies and the distortions. You make a statement in your book, power is like fire, lightning, wind, ocean, like life itself, a raw, vibrant force of nature. It has the potential for great harm and the possibility for magnificent good. Each of us chooses, whether consciously or unconsciously, how we will use the power of our own life energy. Now, when I read that, two words that came to me were personal responsibility.
Yes.
Because when, as human beings, we recognize this, that's something we have to acknowledge. Your statement about power being abused on all levels of life in every venue that there is a very true statement. Whether it's been in the face of religion, it's been in the face of corporate business, the healing modality, whatever. There are always going to be those situations. I liked your comment where you said, imagine if all the people that are hurting or harming others dealt with their own inner mess, that they took care of that first. They wouldn't be about doing the other stuff.
Exactly. You know, one of the things I like to make sure people understand is that therapy has still in our day-to-day not the same kind of stigma often that it had in the 50s when it was starting to become popular, but it still has a bad reputation of different sorts. And yet what I see when I look at the beginning of therapy really starting to come into our society is that it had in it the seeds of self-responsibility. It had in it the opportunity for the people who were willing to look inside to begin to grow that sense of self-responsibility. And the quote you read about power being a raw, vibrant force of nature and that we each have the choice isn't always conscious, and that's why it's so important for us to really do the exploration of what is going on inside us that we're not aware of. And I'd like to give you an example of how, a very foundational example, a very fundamental example of how we form our relationships with power that is outside of our consciousness.
Please do.
When we're young, when we're children, and we feel intensely, those feelings of pain, of trauma, any place along the line of pain to trauma to some children even experience torture, when we experience those feelings as children, they are too much for us. They are too much for us to bear. And what we do is reflexively find a way to bury them. And whether consciously or not, we bury those feelings, and again, whether consciously or not, we then make decisions about how we're going to live our life and how we're going to be in life. So here's an example. Let's say mom or dad was domineering and made you do things you shouldn't have had to do, things that were beyond your years and beyond your capabilities. And let's say you got yelled at and sent to your room for hours when you didn't match their standards, which, of course, you couldn't possibly match. And one night, you've been sent to your room, and you're lying in bed and crying yourself to sleep. And that's when you bury the feelings and make an early decision. I call it an early decision, but you are not aware that you're making it. And the early decision I'm going to offer in terms of the use of power and the relationship with power is, you have the power now, Mom or Dad, but when I grow up, I'm going to have all the power, and people will know it. And then you grow up. And imagine, you grow up and you have some position of authority and power. You might be a parent or a teacher or a clergy person. You might be a legislator or a Supreme Court justice or a president. And this is not about politics. This is about being human. This happens to us all. And you grow up and you use your power and you think you're using it well. And it might even appear that you are using it well. But you aren't, because someplace deep down, without even being aware of it, you are continuing a power struggle that really got clinched that night when you were crying yourself to sleep and made that decision. And the most important thing is, you're not conscious of it. You're not conscious that that decision's driving your life. You're not conscious that there's a child in you that's driving your life. And you're not conscious that you are holding on to that decision unconsciously for dear life, because if you let it go, you will feel once again those feelings that you were having when you were crying yourself to sleep, which is exactly, let me just say one more thing, which is exactly what we need to feel purposefully and safely for the healing.
Now, that brings me to a point that you make in your book. You find the most commonly disconnected avenue is the feeling pathway. Now, that's something when people are dealing with their own attitudes of power, their own positions of power. I was just watching something regarding rock groups earlier before the show, and I was intrigued by the myths that are being promoted all the time, both by media and even by certain personalities within this environment. That's just a little tiny specific of the entertainment industry. But having had some exposure to that venue in the past couple of weeks, I thought how fascinating myths are and how often so many of the people that end up having headlines across the paper for being such jerks in public, or they're abusive in so many areas to themselves first and then to others, it is cloaked and covered up in so many different ways. And I think there are those buttons that are being pushed within those individuals that are very self-destructive many times. And you cover that in some of your stories.
Absolutely. And Donna, the myth is, I mean, once those feelings were too much for us as children, but the myth is that they still are. And our society is so afraid of feelings because we carry the myth with us that the feelings are dangerous, instead of learning how to utilize them for healing and to discern which feelings are feelings that lead us back to the early wounds that need to be healed and which are the feelings that really need to be acted on in the moment.
That takes an integrity, I feel, with an individual, and being unafraid of looking at vulnerability, at looking at confusion, and sometimes making it okay that you have a level of confusion, because part of the individuality is being able to peel off the layers of distortion many times that we acquire. And let's face it, all of us do it, because it's life. We have all kinds of things that we're brought into contact with, and we just contact with. So we have to be able to make it okay. Let's find out what's going on underneath here, and not to bring up the ugly and the bad necessarily, but just to find out who we are, to really get down to the bare bones.
To find out who we are, is it means to take off the masks that we've built and the ways we've idealized who we are, who we should be, in order to cover up who we are. You know, people are afraid of the, quote, darkness inside us. But in that darkness, if you think of it as a fertile womb or a fertile void, is not just the pain and the things we're afraid are ugly. It's also the strengths and the gifts of who we are. And I really believe, Donna, that you're right. It does take an integrity and it takes a commitment to do the healing. But I really believe that everyone, someplace in them, has a longing to do that, to get back to who they are, to really fulfill their potential, to really be who they're meant to be. And you can't do that. You can't fulfill who you really are meant to be without healing what is inside you that stands in the way.
Also, I think your word commitment is a very good one, because that entails, we'll go full circle back to personal responsibility. And I think that that is something that when we're willing to do that, then we'll stop the blame game and we'll say, let me find out. What is it that created the stories that I have evolved through? And how do I want to change? Where do I want to be? And it's taking off the rose-colored glasses. And like you said, mention, you know, being aware of the weaknesses and the strengths. And I think that no matter what culture you go into, there are always going to be those masks. I've yet to find a culture that has not had them in one form or another. It just seems to be the state of life. And a part of what our journey is deciding what story we want to tell, what story we want to live, what story we want to experience. You have in your book the illustration. You say stories themselves are one of the best ways to communicate truth. And I really believe that, because I think the power of a well-told story is significant. Sometimes it puts in someone a seed. It may take years, but that seed will eventually germinate and will come into its own and perhaps even enable that person to say, I can make the shift. I can understand that if I've gone through any kind of an abusive situation, there is a chance for me to be able to look at that, glean from it what I need to glean, and then dump the rest and move on with my life, be the person I really am, and not that experience, not that situation. You use the emperor and his
Can
new
I just
clothes.
Want to respond to what you're saying there? I think the important, what you're saying is a level of it, but the important thing that I keep wanting to bring is that if people can't or don't or won't or don't find somebody that can help them build the capacity to feel the feelings that are still alive inside them from way back then they can't get to where they need to go. They might be able to make a change. They might be able to manage their thoughts and feelings or control their behaviors, but it won't be sustained. Those feelings inside that are connected with the wounding will haunt people until you actually do the work. It just feels so important to keep coming back to that.
You have many different stories in your book. And one of them is titled, one of the chapters in your book, You Are Responsible for Everything. You point out a teaching that the mistaken teaching is that we are responsible for every occurrence in our lives. And I agree with you. We're not responsible for every occurrence in our lives. How would you address this?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Oh. In your chapter on We Are Responsible for Everything, it's titled You Are Responsible for Everything, you make the point, the mistaken teaching is that we are responsible for every occurrence in our lives. Talk about this mistaken teaching.
The teaching that we're responsible for everything, from my experience as I've worked with people, as I've seen different teachers teach and different healers and therapists work, what I've seen is that that teaching is a way to try to make people believe that they can control what's happening, that they can control everything. And my experience of that is that it often those people are people that grew up in homes where they were abused, and they felt like in order to keep from being abused, they had to control. So it's, you know, often what we experience as childhood is taken into another arena of life, education or therapy or spiritual work. And so what I've found is the people that really believe that we are responsible for everything, and if we just do the right work and the right pieces of work, then we will be able to control everything. And it's a defense against that vulnerability of that there are certain things that we do have impact on, both in our own lives and in the world around us, and there are also things that we don't have impact on, that we don't have control of.
You also have a wonderful story, I think, in here, and I loved it because you used the wonderful fairy tale, The Emperor Has New Clothes, and of course in that story, there is a little child. Everybody's denying that the emperor is marching down the street stark naked. Everybody says, well, gee whiz, if I say he doesn't have any clothes on, I'm going to be labeled as this, that, or the other. But the child says, hey, Mom and Dad, how come he doesn't have any clothing on? He's stark naked. And so in your portrayal of this, it's, gee whiz, the parents don't want the child to speak the truth, and the child goes through a trauma of sorts, saying, but you always tell me to tell the truth. Why don't you want me to tell the truth? And, of course, it's embarrassing to the parents. And I had to chuckle when I read this because there's a member of my family that had a situation exactly like this. It was a little different, though, in parallel. A minister had come to the house, and something happened. I don't recall exactly what it was. And after a while, the minister was there. The minister asked, and this was a little boy, asked the little boy, did he enjoy church? And he bluntly said, no, I don't like it. It's boring. His mother, who was an avid church goer and was really at the top of the hierarchy, you might say, in positioning within the church, she was mortified. And he said he got a spanking because of what he said. She said, you don't say things like that to the minister. He said, why not? He asked me a question, and I just answered it. And, of course, she was just mortified in her positioning. She said this was a terrible thing for my child to say, that the minister is boring.
This is a perfect example of one of the reasons why I was called to use The Emperor's New Clothes in the book as a foundational chapter. I don't think I've ever met anybody who didn't have some image, some belief, some early decision about what will happen if they tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like if we are going to do our own work with the places where we have been abused by somebody else misusing their power, or the places where we misuse and abuse our power, because none of us is perfect, none of us is completely conscious, we all have places where we do misuse and abuse our power. And if we're going to heal that, each of us our own, then it's impossible to heal it without dealing with that early decision about what happens if you say the truth. And I've worked with people who are just terrified of saying the truth, and some versions of it are, I'll get spanked, or Mommy won't talk to me for days, or I'll get punished, or I'll get attacked, or I'll get sent away. I mean, there are many versions of them. Each person has their own. And that gets shown in the book, because each chapter, each story begins with a different ending of the fairy tale and the abuse of power and the steps towards healing that. So that's a really important thing for people to work with, is what is your image? What is your early decision that you don't even know yet that you have, perhaps, about what will happen if you speak the truth?
That is, I think, a question that speaking the truth is something that so frequently will come up. And there are those individuals that somehow or another learn that if they can't speak the truth, then perhaps they will just stay quiet. Or if they do speak the truth, to be unafraid. And that is not an easy thing to do. Again, that depends on societies, and there have been some environments where the truth is always honored and respected, and there has been that openness. But depending on where you come from, I think the biggest journey is working with yourself first. Because when you can have that integrity with yourself, it is a very powerful positioning to be in. And I agree, if you feel like you need help to understand certain abuses, if you will, you reach for it. But it always is that inner side of ourselves that we need to know, that that's where our power lies, is within ourselves, acknowledging our strengths as well as our weaknesses and having truth with ourselves. It really does make a difference, but that's not easy. It's not an easy journey to take, is it, Judith?
Not at all. And when I was talking before about speaking the truth, I mean not just to other people, but to ourselves. I mean, I have worked with people that have come because they really, on some level of their being, wanted to know the truth of themselves. And in another moment, when they're really frightened, their response is, I don't want to know.
So
I think that's a very human response, and it is important to do the inner work, to know ourselves inside, to know the truth about who we are and what kinds of things happen inside us that are beneath our consciousness, and to do that with great compassion for ourselves. You know, a lot of people just think about speaking the truth, and speaking the truth can be abused. When I think of speaking the truth, I think about, I always join the words love and truth. You read it actually in my prayer at the beginning of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you speak the truth joined with love. Hello?
Yes, are you?
Oh, I heard a beep. I thought maybe we had been disconnected.
Oh, no. We're still there.
If you speak the truth joined with love, you won't be abusing it. It won't be a forcing of the truth. And the love, if it's coupled with truth, won't be just a wishy-washy thing. The love and truth joined together are really important. So when you go looking for the truth of who you are, it needs to be done with great compassion and love for yourself.
There are so many people that look at where we are, look at what is evolving in our world today, and conversations can go on for hours about abuses that are made. But I think when we can start with ourselves, that's one of the greatest steps that can ever be taken, so that the rest of the world eventually will feel the ripple from who we are. I love the saying about how the fluttering above butterflies' wings affects the weather on the other part of the world. And I really think that that is what, for each and every one of my listeners listening today, that they are able to understand their own personal space, deal with that. You maybe cannot repair anything at this moment over in Iraq. Maybe there's not a heck of a lot you can do in the immediate on certain things, but if you can start with yourself, that ripple may very well affect, after a period of time, in its own invisible way, some very special places and spaces, both in the lives of other people as well as in your own. Judith, your book, Power Abused, Power Healed. You have some very, very significant stories to share in here. Do you have a website that people can go to?
I do, Donna. It's powerabusedpowerhealed.com.
So the title of your book.
Yes.
And as we're closing out, do you have a thought you'd like to share with my audience?
Well, I was just thinking as you were talking that I've been utilizing a lot in my work, in my teaching, in my newsletters that are available on the website, they're archived on the website. I've been utilizing what's going on in the world to help teach about coming back inside oneself. And one of the recent newsletters was a newsletter on that the leaders reflect the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we looked at the leaders and point out there, but the truth is they're reflecting us, which points us right back inside.
I think that so frequently is what happens in our lives, whether it's on the very smallest level to the greatest magnification of that. I think that is so true. Judith Barr has been my guest today. Her interesting book, Power Abused, Power Healed. She says, power like lightning is a raw, vibrant force of nature with the potential for great harm and the possibility for magnificent good. Judith, you give some interesting insights on this positioning of thought that you like to share with others. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna.
It's been a great time talking with you. We are going to be taking a break here. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. If you'd like to chat with me and would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here are the telephone numbers to call in to. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Toll free from Canada is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a brand new listener to the show, I'm so delighted you've been able to join our family. I know we've got a caller on the line. We'll be going to that caller in just a moment. If you have not called in before, know all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me, after I give you that information, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like. Let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Linda from Anchorage.
Hi, Linda.
Hi,
Anchorage,
Donna.
One of my favorite places. I love Anchorage. Has it gotten warm up there yet, or are you still in those cold temperatures?
I've already mowed the yard once.
Are you for real?
Yep.
You actually mowed it?
Yep. In fact, I'm weeding and beating it as we speak.
Oh, my goodness. For those of you listening, I have traveled to Alaska for so many years. It's going on near 30 now. And I just have to chuckle because you never know. Depending on where a person is in Alaska, this time of the year, there could still be snow on the ground. I mean, it's just amazing. It's an incredible state, absolutely magnificent, and I just invite anybody to go up and visit there because it's great. Well, Linda, let's get down to business with you, hon. The first thing I'm looking at is you have to be on guard and alert because there are some people that you will have in your environment that figuratively could, with their words, you're going to feel like they've knocked your teeth out. And I want to say you don't want to put yourself into that kind of a situation. You want to be alert. You want to be on the defensive because apparently this particular individual that I'm seeing, who I think is a male, but I'm also looking at a female that has this defensive patterning as well. And you need to be alert because you can have your guard up, and they're not going to knock the wind out of you with their words. You'll just go, that's interesting. I'd like to think on this for a moment. And then that'll give you a chance to take a deep breath and get yourself in and out of the sort of shock mode that they would stimulate by their words, so that you can come back into the center of yourself and realize, I can handle this, I just need more facts. For some reason, you've got so many individuals around you that their emotions, it looks like they've been whipped with egg beaters. I mean, they're just frazzled. You've got a lot of highly stressed people around you.
I sure do.
Well, you need to be aware, Linda, that these individuals, this is their stress here. It's not yours. And you need to make it okay when they bombard you with whatever junk they're carrying around, that you insulate yourself, if nothing else, with thinking patterns, and say, I'm not their garbage dump. This is not happening. I am not accepting their garbage. And you don't buy into it. You don't absorb it. I think you're so intuitive and you're so sensitive that it's too easy for you to just say, I'll see if I can fix it for you. And it doesn't work. And then you wonder why you are so depleted. You have nothing else to give to anybody, much less yourself. So you really need to be alert and aware, hon. Don't be somebody else's garbage can, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Just don't do it. Put the lid on it and anchor it down. Am I making sense?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. What's your question for me today?
Well, I was wondering what you see in the future. Any relationships?
Well, it depends on what you're referring to when you say any relationships. If you're talking
about a partner for life.
A partner for life, not right away.
Okay.
What I think is evolving here is that this year and next, and I'm just giving you what I am perceiving as an approximate time frame, you are sifting out of your life those conditions and those people that do not contribute to balance as you want it to be present in your experience. So what is happening here, you are taking a different approach to life. You are looking and evaluating people differently. You are not wanting to be the rescuer. You're not wanting to be that person that is going to be all sweetness and sugar and spice and nice, and gee, anybody and everybody that has a problem can come into your front yard. That's not where you're going to want to go. So the type of person that you want as a partner is someone that you can walk side by side with.
Mm-hmm.
And you want them to be pretty well stabilized in their thinking, in their patterns, and actually in their attitudes. And how they live their life. And that is what I'm seeing you looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say keep an openness and realize that you need to have this sense of defensiveness, because you're like so many people that I know, that you're so open that if you're too open, what happens is that anything and everything comes your way, and like I said earlier, they just dump. And you're left with all this garbage. And so you just need to discriminate and be able to recognize certain patternings in advance and then just not buy into it. So I do think there is going to be a very special person in your life. And this man, I think, is going to be very well schooled. I think he will have a good living. He will be a person that has a real zest for life. He actually will be quite dedicated to certain community activities. I'm seeing him working in some program associated with a hospital. I don't know if it's for disabled vets or what it is, but he's a very caring, compassionate man. And he will have been single for a good deal of time. And you, the two of you, when you come together, it'll be through something really different that you would never expect you'd meet anybody through this activity. I don't know, maybe it's something that's going to be a marathon, or again, it's going to be really different.
Mm-hmm.
And when you participate in it, I think you're going to be working as a volunteer to help a friend. So you're going to be there and you're going to meet this gentleman, and I think the two of you will have a chance to have coffee together and get to know each other, and I think eventually you'll say I do. But I don't see that happening real soon.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You are very welcome, Linda. And you have a wonderful day and enjoy that yard.
Okay. Thanks,
All
Donna.
Right. Take care, hon. Bye-bye.
Okay.
This is Donna Siebel. You can give me a buzz, too. No matter where you are, you can call in 877-876-5227. That's in the USA. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also a direct line of 530-876-3222. So any and all of those lines can be called. And just remember, I just need your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me anything you like. Now, my newsletter has gone out this week, and I wanted to let you know that if you are not on the newsletter list, you can get a copy of that newsletter through my website, which is DelphiInternational.com. And if you have a special recipe or a wonderful story to share, be sure to send it along. I'm always interested in hearing that. You're also going to see the beginnings of my itinerary that will be coming up, especially in the summertime, through the end of the year. So there's going to be a lot of traveling that's going to be going on then, and I look forward to the opportunity of interacting with you. Also, remember, in my newsletter, I have a listing of my guests that are coming up, as well as having that list on bbsradio.com, that website. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Teresa from Scottsdale.
Scottsdale, Arizona?
Yes.
Oh, I bet you you're nice and toasty.
Yes.
That time of the year. All right, hon. Teresa, what I'm watching with you is you've got to get busy with some writing. There are some things that need to be done that are going to require a lot of thoughtfulness on your part. Also, you're trying to weed out some expenses that you feel that are sort of dragging you down, and I said give yourself some time to do this. You can plan it out, be very specific, and I think you're going to be just fine financially. But as I'm looking at this next month or two, there is a lot I'm seeing you wanting to pack into these next couple of months because you feel like you're not going to have too much time later on. And I'd say your instincts are right on this. Follow your intuition. Keep your priorities in front of you so you know exactly what you need to do to get things done. And you will pretty much meet your timeline. I think there might be a little bit of an extension on the time frame that you were wanting to work with. But in general, I think you're pretty much going to be able to hold true to it. Also, problems with your feet. You may need to wear a certain type of a shoe. You're going to be on your feet a lot, perhaps even an insert into the shoe. It depends on how the points on the side of the foot and the heel are being affected. I'm looking at a discomfort that goes all the way up into your hip area, and it's directly related to your feet, to your stance. So try to remember to maintain good posture. And if you're standing for a long period of time, try to remember to keep your weight balanced. Don't do it just on one hip or on the other because it's throwing the back out. So this is something I think you're going to become more attuned with during this year of 2008. And you're doing okay with your exercise program too, hon. Keep it up. What would you like to ask me?
Well, gosh, you touched on a lot of my concerns. It was meeting timelines on these commitments that I have that are just so so prevalent.
Well, try when you can. When you're feeling a lot of pressure with the timeline, try to take about 5 minutes. Go someplace where it's quiet. I don't care if it's a bathroom. Any place where you can be all alone and do a lot of deep breathing. Inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth. Do it very quietly, but take in as much air as you can, and do that kind of breathing, like about 30 inhales and exhales, and I think you'll find yourself calmer, and while you're doing it, just say clarity. I'm going to have clarity, and my timelines are going to be met. I'm going to get this done. But it's quieting yourself down because you're pulling in a lot of concern and thought, and let's face it, we never get a lot done when we're agitated. We have to be focused. And even if we are agitated and we do choose to focus, then we are harnessing our energy appropriately. So I believe that this is just a learning curve for you so that you understand your time commitments and you fulfill them.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm looking for different ways to emotionally support myself. I've been exploring different groups, spiritual or non-spiritual, fun activities, meeting people, but nothing at this point has, some of these things have a little tendency to backfire where there's surprise disappointments. And
okay, Teresa, I'm going to interrupt you. Will you stay on the line? We've got to take a break for a moment.
Okay.
All right, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. You can call in at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're going to come back and talk with Teresa when we're finished. Don't go anywhere.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and if you want to give me a buzz, it's 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756. We're going to go back to Teresa. Teresa, you were saying that you had been trying different groups and different organizations, and you had been a little disillusioned by some of your experiences, and I'm going to say that's normal, hon. I think one of the best ways to support yourself, this is going to sound a little strange, I think it's with music. Doing something fun, music, dance, anything along those lines that's whimsical that allows you to just play. Because if you're like so many of us, you're on the borderline of being a workaholic, and it's like, gee, all work and no play makes one a dull person. That's the old adage. And if you love what you're doing when you're working, that's one thing. But just having time to play is really significant. So maybe you shouldn't take it so seriously. Maybe you should get into something, again, that's dancing, music, the arts, just where it's totally no-brainer. You're just doing it for the joy and being around other people.
Okay. I guess I get a little emotionally needy, and I'm just looking to connect emotionally. But you're right. You're reminding me of to remember.
Mm-hmm. It's okay to play. It's very difficult for a lot of us to accept that. Heck, I have a hard time with it at times. So it's okay. It's just okay to absolutely do nothing that makes sense. You know, just maybe go out and paint trees or plant flowers or do something that doesn't have anything that's intensively intellectual at all. It doesn't have to have any meaning to it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, dear. You have a good day.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Well, let's talk about who we've got coming up this week and next. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Dr. Fred Ernst, Truth, Lies, and ER, and that's going to be an eye-opener. Then we're going to be talking with Chris Gaynor about To a Distant Day, insights that Chris has developed, and she's going to be sharing it with us. Next week, we're going to be talking with Natalie and Susan, how their teachers wear fur coats. Aha, I love the title. And then we're going to be talking about the best things fathers can do. That's with Will Glennon. And then we'll be talking about Highway from Hell, Ruth Moonstone, Star White. Yes, now I'm going to let you speculate on that title and what that means. Body Brilliance with Alan Davidson. This is a man, oh my goodness, the book is not only spectacularly beautiful, but what this man has gone through and has come out of is really impressive. On the 13th, we're going to be playing a Best of Donna. It's going to be a replay of one of my programs with Dr. Petty, Richard Petty, because I'm going to be flying. Yes, I'm going to be going back to the East Coast. And then we have a wonderful, wonderful lineup of people after that. So regardless of where I am, when I'm in the air, I can't do the show live, obviously. So we have a Best of Donna. We haven't figured out how to do that one yet effectively. One day we will, but at this time we don't. So give me a call if you want to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Spy planes. Oh, yes, we hear about them all the time. But are you aware of those little itsy-bitsy spy planes? Well, we have seen programs about them on television. Of course, science fiction has been talking about the flies on the wall. How many times have we said, I wish I could be a fly on the wall in that meeting to know what's really going on? Well, that little fly on the wall is coming closer and closer to reality. I've got a photo in front of me by Anne Castleman, and we're talking about shrinking spies. They're getting tinier and tinier, folks. Now, it used to be there were spy planes called the Predators, and they used them over Iraq. Now, these bigger spy planes have a lot of problems. They're very expensive to build and to operate, and they're easy to see, so they can be blown out of the air very quickly. Well, getting those planes, that spy plane, so that they weigh less than 2 ounces, can you imagine that? Like I said, it's getting tinier and tinier. It allows for the spying to be more efficient. Now, flying a craft as small as 4.5 inches wide has its problems because the smaller they are, they haven't learned the aerodynamics of the bumblebee yet, the smaller they are, the harder it is to keep it stable, and it isn't energy efficient. I wonder how the humble backyard fly would say or feel about that. Now, to smooth the flight of such small planes, there's a professor of mechanical and aerospace engineering at the University of Florida. His name is Peter Ifchu. He created a flexible wing, and this really looks like something out of science fiction, a flexible wing, and they've got a prototype that looks like a flying saucer in part, the way it's sort of semi-circular and flat. But this, they have found, has been so efficient in its flying capabilities because of the flexible wings and the aerodynamic style and design of this little plane. And they were inspired by the wings of bats. And this professor built a carbon fiber skeleton, and it's covered with a latex membrane that pacifies wind gusts by acting as a shock absorber. And it's as steady as anything can be on a windy day. Now, the downside, they say, is a flight time of just 15 minutes before they have to recharge the battery. Well, give them a little bit longer, and they'll have it solar applied or whatever, and they're going to be able to make it work and make it last a lot longer. It's really amazing what people can do when they put their minds to the task. And those of you that are scientists out there, we need an engine that can generate its own injury, so we don't, energy, so that we can, we don't have to depend on fossil fuel. We won't even have to use water. It'll be self-sustaining, and it won't burn out. Yes, I know it's possible. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We are out of time, and we're going to be right here, same time, same place, tomorrow. So wherever you are, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Talk with you tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.